what we preached on the other day about prayer. And along with prayer, I want to go over a little bit tonight. Not only the importance of prayer, what we've been talking about, but our access in our prayer life. The Bible says, for this is the confidence that we have in Him, knowing that whatsoever we ask according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. And I read a story a while back, years ago, in fact, in The Sword of the Lord. It said that in 1931, John R. Rice, if some of you don't know who he was one of the founders of The Sword of the Lord magazine, a great, sweet preacher. He wrote a wonderful book on prayer that most of the Bible schools recommend his book on prayer. He was a prayer warrior. And in 1931, it said John R. Rice was in a prayer meeting in Peacock, Texas, and said there had been a terrible drought down there. And you see what's going on out west now with all the wildfires and the droughts. And said those folks got serious that day about praying for rain, and they wanted rain. They prayed for rain to come within 24 hours. Now, that's a bold prayer. But they prayed for rain to come within 24 hours, and the story goes that in 18 hours, a flood of rain broke a four-month drought. And then in another meeting in Decatur, Texas, the story goes that they fervently prayed for rain when the city lake was about empty. And the rains came and it filled up the lake, and another prayer meeting was called to ask God to stop the rain so the special meetings could go on. But that's kind of how it is with God. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. And then it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I think the main thing that our churches have lost in the age we live in is the fervency of our prayer lives. We pray, but it's very tough when you've got all your needs filled. When we all have nice clothes to wear, we've got food in the refrigerators, we've got nice cars to drive, we've got homes, most of us, to go to. It's very difficult to pour your heart out to God like folks did in times of need. And if you remember back in 9/11, well, all of a sudden everybody wanted to start praying because of the craziness that was going on. But as a child of God, God expects us to have that constant. He says, pray without ceasing. We're not to neglect our prayer lives and what we have to learn. I think what we've lost is the fervency in our prayer. God wants you to pray it like you really mean it. He wants you to show Him that you mean business with your prayer life. Someone had asked me about fasting the other day. Prayer and fasting. You remember the story where the Lord's up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and they're up there, and they're all alone with God, and the disciples, meanwhile, are down trying to heal this boy, and they couldn't heal him. And the Lord showed up after being in that close communion with the Father. The Lord showed up, and Peter, James, and John, and the Lord went over there and healed that boy just like that. And the disciples, because they'd been given a lot of power, but the disciples asked, the Lord said, why couldn't we heal that boy? And the Lord said this, He said, this kind cometh only by prayer and fasting. The Lord told the disciples, He said, when ye fast. He didn't say, if ye fast. But we don't do that much at all in the church anymore. Tony Spicer told me years ago, and I try to maintain this. I liked it. I try to do it. Not that I always do it, because it's tough. He said before he ever had, before he ever made a life-changing decision, he would fast and pray for 5 days about that decision. That's not easy to do. The first couple days are very, very rough. Day three is very rough. The more you go, it gets a little bit easier as you go along. But fasting is not easy. Now, the naturopaths will tell you that there's a cleansing that occurs in your body when that happens. In fact, Joyce has told me with her nursing years that a fast about 39 or 40 days is about the extent that someone can fast for their health. And I'm saying that to say this. Don't think that all hope is lost just because you've been praying and we've been praying about some things. There's some extra power that the scripture tells us about that we rarely tap into. Fervent prayer. Fasting. Very important. We're to pray one for another. We need to let God know where our heart is. And when we want something, we need to let God know we want it. When I was a boy, I remember seeing that story about the fellow went to his friend at night because his company had come and he didn't have things to give him. And he went and asked his neighbor for his friend for some bread. And his neighbor said, hey, I'm already in bed. Leave me alone. And it said, but due to his importunity... And I didn't know what that word meant. And I looked it up and it said it meant that persistence, that constant nagging. Due to his importunity, he got up and gave his neighbor what he'd come and ask for. And that's how God is with us. He wants us to be persistent. And I've heard, you know, people say, well, I just, my it isn't that big a deal for God to have to, I prayed for it once and that's enough. No, God wants you. Want you to show him that you mean business, or else he wouldn't have had that story in there. There's another story of a woman who went to the king and kept asking him for something, and finally the king said, "Give her what she wants." Said, "She's wearying me." God wants you to weary him. He wants to hear from you. He wants to know that you're serious about your prayer life. O thou that hearest prayer, the psalmist said, Psalm 65, 2, unto thee shall all flesh come. Hebrews 11, 6, we talked about faith the other day and where that came up. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So God's there and he's wanting to reward you, but he don't hear from you. Ye have not because ye ask not. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose hearts are perfect toward him. You've got all that scripture that says that the Lord wants to hear from you. You're his people. He loves you just like you love your own children. But you don't ask. Or you don't ask like you mean it. You know how your kids do you sometimes? They'll hang on you. Get me this ice cream. Oh, I want it. Lonnie and his brother Joe, they'd say, we need it. Not that they wanted it. We need it. Don't tell Lonnie I told that story on him. We need it. Then there's asking amiss. James 4, 2, ye lust and ye have not, ye kill and ye desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lust. Now that's different. I don't know how many times I asked to get a motorcycle when I was a teenager and my dad just laughed in my face. He wouldn't let me have a motorcycle. So I went out and borrowed Don Cottingham's motorcycle. And I've still got scars along my elbow and the sides of my legs as a testimony to why my dad would not let me have a motorcycle. I was too crazy. But you ask things like that, you're just asking to consume it upon your lust. Now, one point I wanted to make tonight, I do a message on this thing about access. We talked the other day of Paul's verse over in Galatians 2:20 where he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's his faithfulness that gets the job done. And we're just entering in as being in Christ. We're of Christ, we're in Christ, and we're entering into what he was faithful with. And that's why we get our petitions. But I want to notice something. I remember for years, I'd go to these Baptist meetings, and I heard preachers say time and time again, says, and they bring up those Old Testament verses about, if I regard iniquity in my heart, thou wilt not hear my prayer. And I thought that should be doctrine for the church, but it isn't. Because something happened between the Old Testament and the New Testament when it comes to access. Remember the verse, the Old Testament talks about you, the Lord cannot look upon the iniquity and so forth. But on this side of the cross, that access, our access is not in how good we are. If you learn anything tonight, learn that your access is based upon Christ. It's in him. For we have boldness and access by the faith of him. Jesus Christ gives you access within the veil. Remember when the Lord was crucified, that veil was rent in twain. He'd entered, and now we're able to enter into the Holy of Holies because of Christ. He's there making intercession for us. And our access is no longer based upon how good we are. Now there, don't get me wrong. If you're living wickedly, don't expect God will hear your prayer because of Christ. That don't mean he's going to answer it the way you want it answered. I will say that. You're living like a dog. Don't expect God to bless you with a whole lot of blessings. But your petition is heard because of Christ. Jack Grigsby, my former pastor over at Berean Baptist, taught me that difference. And he's right. And the verse that a lot of those preachers will use, and I've heard it preached over and over again, Psalm 66:18, says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me, he hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. So here he's saying, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord don't hear my prayer. But on this side of the cross, something happened. When I go to God, I don't go through my goodness. I don't go through my own righteousness. I go through Christ. Everything I do is based upon his faithful life, sinless, holy life. Everything that I ask for, the petitions that I make to my heavenly Father go through that name that is above every name. All right. Proverbs 28:7 says this, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. He that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. And he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. That's not talking about born again, saved Christians. When I pray, it's not in my name. I pray in Jesus' name. Jeremiah and I was talking about the verse in Timothy, I believe it is, where it says, even when you give thanks in the name of Jesus. It's like even our thanks aren't acceptable outside of the name of Jesus Christ. He's put all things under his Son, Jesus Christ. Our access is through Christ, and the faithfulness was of Christ, his faithfulness. And you can't impress God with religion. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. Isaiah 1:10. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings and rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, that's where they're trying to impress God under the law. Even your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you and make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Now that's Old Testament, folks. The Lord said all that religious stuff you do isn't going to get you access. In our when Christ died for your sins, there's only one way to get to God, and that is through Christ, through his name. Our access changed. Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Ephesians 2:18 says this, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Not how good you've been. Now God may want to bless you because you've been doing what God's told you to do, for we are created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. But we're not heard because of our good works. We're heard because of Christ and his faithfulness. Romans 5:2, by whom, Jesus Christ, also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have access by whom? By Jesus Christ. Galatians 4:6, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Our access to the throne of glory tonight is through Jesus Christ. No other way that I see from Scripture does a man have access except through Christ. And over there in Ephesians, and it's all of grace. It's all of God's grace. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. What is the gift of God? Is it just the grace, or is the faith a gift of God too? Brother Astep, where I take classes from out of charity, says even our faith is God's gift. It's like nothing outside of Christ is acceptable to God. And then we run across that verse where the Jews are amazed that God, it says, for God hath granted repentance to the Gentiles. Wow. You mean a Gentile could have repented and God would have not accepted that repentance? God would not have granted repentance. But when Christ turned to the Gentiles, when God turned to the Gentiles with a message of salvation through Jesus Christ, then the Jews saw that God had also granted repentance to the Gentiles. That's how you and I get in. Now, a lot of folks say, well, a prayer... The Jews used to claim that a prayer would not be heard under the Old Testament economy. They're probably right. But if you get on this side, that prayer of salvation for a man seeking God is a prayer that will be heard. And you get that from the story of Cornelius. Cornelius was seeking God. He never heard about the gospel, the grace of God, until God sent him to see Peter. But Cornelius worked righteousness. That'll be Acts chapter 10. Cornelius worked righteousness. He gave alms. And he did everything that God would want a righteous man to do. And finally, the Lord said, your prayers have come up for a memorial. And you know what he did? He sent him to Peter to give him the gospel. How's he get saved? Through the gospel. The Bible says there's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. So our salvation is of Christ. Our faith is of Christ. That it's a gift of God. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God's gift to us, he gives us saving faith whenever we seek him. And the Bible says he knoweth our thoughts afar off. He knows if a man's heart's trying to seek him or not. It talks about the word of God is able to discern the thoughts and intents, the very thoughts and intents of the heart. If a man's trying to come to Christ, God knows it. He knows from that man's heart whether he's serious about coming to him or not. If that man's serious about seeking God, God will reveal himself to that man as he did with Cornelius. My Arab buddy up in Indianapolis, Naeem Abdulhaq is his name. He's an Arab from Jerusalem. All his family is saved. His wife and his children are saved. But Naeem has never made that profession of faith. So he's on my master prayer list, and every night I lift Naeem up or through the day. Sometimes it's through the day, sometimes it's day and night. But I'll ask God to reveal himself to Naeem. You know, you take a man that grows up and grows up a Muslim. God has to do the revealing there. I'm convinced I can talk till I'm blue in the face to Naeem, but God's going to have to reveal that. It's just generations and generations steeped in tradition and in false religion, false doctrine. So God has to appeal to that man and reveal himself to that man. Just as in the story of a fellow named Jacob Marcisian, a Jew who got saved in Miami. He was a rabbi. And after he got saved, he started a work called Temple Bethel in North Miami Beach. And he told me, he's a banjo player, is how I got to know him. A Christian who was a former rabbi. And he told me that when he got saved, his family denounced him. It's like they excommunicate him. Didn't want anything to do with him, but he prayed and prayed, and finally his mother got saved, and then his dad was on his deathbed. And you can do what you want with this story. I think I've told it before probably a couple times, but he said that he went into a fast and said on the 39th day of his fast, his dad called him to his bedside and got saved. You say, what's that about? That's about a supernatural act of God revealing himself to this man through the power of fervent prayer and fasting. I'm trying to bring this back around home where we started. There's a lot of craziness that we have to deal with in this age we live in. Wayward children, the scourge of drugs, it's awful. Families in turmoil. And yet we don't have the fervency in our prayer life. Somebody had written a thing in one of the local papers about how wonderful it was with homosexuals in the church. That's just pure false doctrine. God isn't in that. And that's when the church gets in that state, what kind of power is that? Are we going to have as a church when we start calling evil good and good evil? You can't do that. And we as a church, we need to love one another as a family. But then if you're going to pray for one another, do it like you mean it. Pray with some fervency. It just don't say the effectual prayer. Effectual means that it takes effect. It accomplishes something. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When something is effectual, it causes an effect. If you want something in your life to change, if you've got a wayward child, you're trying to get back in God's will or trying to do this, then you need, I won't tell you what you need to do, I'm telling you what God says to do, you need to get on your face. I've read stories of those old-time preachers, they'd be flat on their face before God. Tears, crying out before God for help. Be burdened down for lost folks, lost souls. And I'll have to say it's hard to do in our society. We're an affluent society. Most of our needs are met. It isn't like well, we don't have anything to eat and we're saying, oh God, don't let me starve to death. So how do we find that? We find that by being obedient to what God says. If you've got all your needs met, not everybody has. You need to pray for those folks. Need to pray for those folks. I heard Richard Sandlin, you know that name, preacher, evangelist, always gave you something in his preaching. And he told a story one time about a little girl in the wintertime, and it was so cold, and they lived in, and my grandma had that kind of house where the winds would blow, and it'd come through those cracks in the boards, and it'd be cold in the wintertime. That wind would blow, and she was upstairs, and said her mama came up there and brought her a bunch of gunny sacks. She's there crying, and her mama wrapped her up with those gunny sacks so she would be warm. And as she started to leave her little girl, she noticed that the little girl was weeping and crying. And she says, honey, said, what are you crying about? And she said, Mama, I'm just thinking about all those little girls that don't have any gunny sacks. Say, we don't do that. We've got everything so easy. And I know probably not everyone in here does, but I know my life compared to most of the folks around the world is blessed, blessed, blessed. So we have to understand that what we've got, and we have to learn that fervency in our prayer life. We just don't go on autopilot with God through our Christian walk. And a lot of churches today are running on autopilot. There's no fervency in the preaching, no fervency in the prayer life. No fervency in the burden for lost souls, or fervency in giving. No fervency in anything we do, because we've got everything we need. We think. You remember that Laodicean church, and the Lord talking said that church that they thought they were rich. Oh, we got everything we need, and the Lord said, "Knowest not that thou art naked and wretched and miserable and blind." So what do? We take God at his word, and we read and we learn what God tells us to do. If prayers aren't getting answered, we need to be more fervent with them. If they're still not being answered, we need to try the fasting like God told his disciples to do. He didn't say when you fast. He expected them to. He didn't say if you fast, he said when you fast. He expected them to do it. We've lost that. And I think all that I can figure is because we've got it too easy. Necessity. What is the old term? Necessity is the mother of invention. We don't have the needs in our lives as many around the world have those needs. So, are we going to roll over and play dead because we've got things pretty easy here in this country and this church? No, we don't roll over and play dead. We ask God to give us that burden. We ask God to show us what we need to do. If not for ourselves, thank God for your blessing, but pray for others. Missionaries, struggling missionaries. I remember I got under conviction one time. I heard a fella preach, and I wish I was original on this, and I wasn't. He said this, and I've never forgotten it. He said, I would hate to get to heaven and find out that I spent more money on dog food than I did on missionaries. Getting kind of quiet in here. But that burdened my heart. Because I've always got a yard full of hunting dogs that ain't worth feeding. But I feed them anyhow. Lying coon dogs. That's dogs that bark when there ain't nothing up the tree. They're liars, coon dog, lying coon dogs. They'll tell you there's one there, but there's not one there. And you'll feed those hounds and feed them. But I said that because it burdened my heart. There's folks out there struggling in the battle for God. They don't have all the wonderful things that we have in America here. I look at Richard Mayer and Paul Gray. They went to the Ukraine, started out in Romania. Richard's brother-in-law was, and his sister and brother-in-law was in the military in Germany. Or his brother-in-law was, so they just went. And left Germany and went up into Romania. Two by two. You know, most mission boards, they want a guy and his wife and seven kids to go on the mission work. But they went, and that is 20, how many years ago? Over 20 years ago. They've been there. They've got Bible Institute started. They've translated the Ukrainian language, the King James, into the Ukrainian language. A real bright fellow. Government after them half the time. The government's leaning on them. You know what's going on in the Ukraine now, but they stay in the battle. We need to pray. Wouldn't it be nice if we had some fervent prayer for those folks? There's others around the world. You see where the Muslims are killing Christians left and right. This ISIS group, it's pure Philistines that are killing all of God's people, killing Christians. Kill them left and right. Those folks need prayer. Not just prayer, but they could use some fervent prayer. Effectual, fervent prayer. And know whenever you go to God in prayer, it's not based on how good you've been that week. It's based upon our Lord and Savior, who was good all the time, all his life. And because of his perfect life, he gives us boldness and access. For we have boldness and access by the faith of him. So that door isn't shut. Maybe you have been a rascal all week. God hears you because of his son. Your standing is in Christ. Your standing is not in the law or the keeping of the law. Christ became the end of the law for righteousness for all that believe. Effectual, fervent prayer. I'm done.